This is Go Mountain Goats back again. This week we're on the road on the Isle of Arran. Myself and Dougie have been here for about a week sampling some of the delights of the mountains of Arran. I'm Finlay Wild. Speaking about Arran, I've run the Goat Fell race plenty of times, maybe four or five times something, and every time obviously trying to go as fast as I could. And there was this record from Andy Peace from the 90s sometime. I was like, I really need to kind of push it on to try and get the record. So the only time I did run 3 seconds under the faster than the old record, I was second to Murray Strain, who was a minute and a half or so ahead of me. So it's a great route, and Murray Strain's obviously got the record still now. We're at gomountaingoats.com, and I won't do much news at the moment because I've sort of not been keeping up because we've been walking around and been in the hills. But Donnie Campbell is still on his 24, still on his Munro's round attempt, where he's trying to do all 282 in a oneer. I think he's past the halfway stage, but it's massive days, it's mental. And John Kelly, who we talked about from his Pennine Way record, he is in the middle of what's called a grand round. So he's doing the Paddy Buckley round in Wales, the Bob Graham in the Lakes, which I think he's maybe just finishing or finished. And then he's doing the Ramsey round up in Lochaber. But he's cycling between them all as well in a oneer. So straight to it, really. This is the Arran Arran episode. My guest, who's been really great at meeting sort of at short notice, and we haven't had a phone signal and my phone keeps dying, so she's agreed to come and meet me. This is Kirsty Smith from Lamlash, who's a runner, a photographer. She's in Mountain Rescue and she likes to go and do a lot of bivvies up in the hills and get amazing photos. So welcome to Go Mountain Goats, Kirsty.
Thank you for having me.
That's fine.
Nice to be here.
And probably I should say we're like currently sitting looking out from, what's the point called?
Yeah, this is Cloughlin's Point. So it's right on the east side of Lamlash, as far along as you can go. You can walk all the way around the point to Brodick if you like. It's a coastal part of the coastal way.
Okay.
It goes all the way around Arran.
It's brilliant. And we're looking out at Holy Island, and it's sort of pink in the clouds, and the midges aren't too bad yet.
Not too bad at the moment. No. The spray's working.
So we've had an absolutely great time on Arran, and we've done a mixture of some ridges and some mountain biking and stuff, and you met us a couple of days ago to basically talk about Arran, and it seems like, well, obviously you're from Arran.
Yep, I am.
And you've spent a lot of time in the hills here in various sort of situations, summer, winter.
Yep.
Running and rescuing people.
I absolutely love the place. I wasn't born here, I was born in Glasgow, but it was just because my mum had complications, otherwise I'd, so I don't know if I can call myself a true Arranite or not.
So your family was from Arran?
Yeah, and they were from, originally from Irvine. And they moved here before I was born, but so lucky, really lucky to have been brought up here. I found my love for the outdoors sort of middle 20s.
Okay.
And then I thought, you know, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I absolutely love the mountains, found my love for the mountains, and I just spent all my free time enjoying them, really, whether it be running, walking, and then joined the Mountain Rescue, I think it was about 14 years ago.
Okay.
Just because I wanted to give something back to the community, and just because I love the outdoors, I wanted to know a little bit more about it, get slightly better at my skills, and I've been in there ever since. I absolutely love it.
Okay. And what's the sort of setup with the Mountain Rescue? Like, how many members do they have? And
So we currently have, I think it's 30 altogether. There's a few come and go, so sometimes we got to 32, but at the moment it's 30. And some people are self-employed, some people have full-time jobs, just a big variety from all over the island, male and female. So,
And is it sort of one, you've got the big base at the bottom of Goat Fell?
It's well situated at the bottom of Goat Fell. It used to be in the middle of Brodick, and it used to just be a shack. And then
someone just leaving the picnic site. So we'll just talk loudly.
Yeah, we just used to have a shack, and we all used to be crammed into this shack in the middle of Brodick, and then we got funding from Order St John's. And we managed to get the base. They, you know, gave us money for the base, and we got this fantastic new base with showers and
it looks really cool from outside.
All organized. So it's like night and day. It's a brilliant place to work from now.
And is it quite a busy team, would you say?
We're roughly not as busy as maybe Lochaberne, the main spots, but we certainly have generally about 30 call-outs a year, sometimes more.
Okay.
We've had a few multi-day ones, like 5 days, I think, is the maximum.
Oh, wow.
All at once, and we had a search for a missing person that unfortunately never resulted in finding the person, so that went on for quite a long time. But generally around about 30 a year, roughly.
And presumably, the Goat Fell track will be one of the busiest places on the island.
This year has been quiet, as I think everywhere has, because obviously of COVID. We haven't had the same amount of call-outs, but usually school holiday times, Easter weekend is the sort of time that usually catches people out. Sometimes there can still be ice and snow on the top. There's a bit of a scree gully comes down off the summit of Goat Fell. Onto the eastern side, and that gully gets covered in, and sometimes catches people out who are determined to get to the summit and go up, but there is a bit steep on the way down, so they'll maybe have a twist in the ankle, so that's quite a popular place to have an accident.
I saw some of your pictures of winter. I suppose from them it looks like you get maybe more snow than I would sort of have guessed you would get.
It really varies here as well. You can never really tell. Sometimes we can have really intense winters, but maybe only last a short time compared to other places, but it can still be as much snow as up north, but it only lasts a certain amount of time. Or sometimes it can be later in the year and catch you out. I'm trying to think what year it was. I think it was 2014. We had a phenomenal amount of snow. And we even had sort of houses buried on the west side of the island. It was like an avalanche on top of the houses. Jeez. And all the power was cut off. And we had to go with the mountain rescue and actually dig people out of their houses. That's the most snow I've ever seen. You couldn't even tell where the edge of the road was going over from towards Lochranza.
Okay.
You couldn't see where you were driving. It was complete madness. Jeez. But yeah, we can have a lot of snow.
But sometimes
very little as well. It's hard to predict sometimes.
And is there many people have you come across that are like coming here winter climbing when it's been like that? Or
there's quite a few. I think it has to be in like anywhere. It has to be in proper condition.
Of course.
But as soon as it is in proper condition, you do get people coming. A great place to do that. It doesn't happen all the time, so I think people are really excited to come when it is in condition.
We just saw some climbers arrive off the ferry yesterday, and it has been amazing weather at the start of this week, the week we've been here, but it's kind of been a bit wetter and cloudier the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And they were sort of walking in, presumably up Glen Rosa yesterday, and then Doogie was on a different run today, and he saw them walking out, and it's like, oh, that's a shame. They probably didn't get the best weather.
Slippier.
But you got your love of the hills like in your 20s.
Yeah, I mean, saying that, my dad, my mum used to be a nurse, and she used to do night shifts. And I always, I suppose the seed was planted with my dad. It used to just take me in a rucksack and take me away. It wasn't up the big hills, but up to the sort of higher Lochans.
Okay.
And we used to spend a whole day sort of wandering up and sitting by the Lochans, and probably my mum was sleeping during the day off her night shift. So I guess back then that sort of planted the seed for my love for the outdoors, but I wasn't really interested at all during my teenage years. Went to Australia when I left school for a year, and then really missed Scotland. So I came back after that, and I just did not want to go anywhere, and found my love for the outdoors, and I just haven't looked back. It's just
Brilliant. What was it like growing up on Arran. Lamb Lash, is it school in Lamb Lash?
Yeah, primary in Lamb Lash, and then the main high school is in Lamb Lash as well.
Okay.
So that was brilliant. It was such a small amount of people, you know, small classes, and you know everybody. So it was quite a nice friendship group, and you played outside. You know, you didn't have to worry about anything. You go out all day, yeah. And make dens. You can wander down the village without, you know. It was great, super best childhood, yeah. Possibly.
How many people would have been in your class? Like, would it have been
possibly about 19, maybe?
Okay,
could so be slightly wrong there, but yeah, minimum numbers,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. And was there much at that point? Was there much sort of going in? I don't know, like forest stuff, or you sort of going in the outdoors with school?
Yeah, went to
or?
The outdoor centre. I think that was maybe first year. We went on a week trip.
Okay.
And the outdoor centre, we've got a fantastic outdoor centre in Lamb Lash now, which is North Ayrshire Council, but it used to be in Whiteton Bay.
Okay.
And they took, different schools came over and they took you out for a week, and you'd go out overnight camp and do various outdoor things. But I remember going on a walk, which wasn't particularly long, but it just felt like an epic, and it was so good. It was so exciting.
And some of those, I think those early memories of being out when it feels new and exciting and really stay with you.
Oh, but the thing about that is you just don't want to go and listen in a school anymore. All you want to do is play outside.
Yeah.
Well, I did anyway.
Yeah.
That's enough. Brilliant. But yeah, really important, I think, for me, to explore the outdoors, to explore where you live and get that sort of skill outside school. So
brilliant. And you went away to Australia, and it was roasting hot, I'm guessing.
It was hardly hot. Why I'm Scottish, I'm not built for that. I have freckles.
But yeah.
Yeah, but no, it was good. It was good. It was a great experience. So but a year max was, it was just too hot. I just was sleepy all the time. Didn't have any energy to do much. I just craved cold air. I even craved midges, believe it or not. Not mosquitoes.
Oh, really?
Midges are better than mosquitoes.
Well, I guess you kind of have to go away to then appreciate how good,
definitely,
like, what you've got is.
Yeah. So I think I'd gone there to emigrate. My mum was born there, so I got a chance of an Australian passport. But yeah, it was for a holiday, for a short break, absolutely fantastic, great place. But I couldn't live there. I had to come back home to Scotland again.
Yeah, to Scotland. And Arran, like this, someone was saying, we met, they talked about Arran being a bit like Scotland in miniature.
Yeah, it's got, that's its sort of title.
Yeah.
It's got lovely beaches, it's got loads of forestry walks. We're absolutely spoilt with pubs and little cafes. And then, of course, you've got the mountains, which are just, they're just on your doorstep.
I was going to say, they're really accessible.
They're so accessible. It's brilliant. I mean, you can wake up. I'm so spontaneous with deciding on what to do. I just keep an eye on the weather constantly, and hope that the good weather's on my days off. Or, yeah. I mean, summer's great because you've got long days, and you can nick up when I finish work. And yeah, I'm really spontaneous with deciding when to go up the hills. I just go for it if the weather's nice.
Yeah.
Just get that hill fix.
Because actually, until this trip, I'd always just come over like as a foot passenger on the ferry.
Yeah.
And been up to Cavour and Glenrosa, but mainly I'd come over for Goat Fell Race.
Yeah.
But so this trip, like, we went up Glensannox, and it's only, like 6 miles around the coast or something.
That's
right. It's this whole other kind of amphitheatre. And
just how many glens
really cool.
in the one sort of area, you know, in the northern hills, you've got so many access points, and everything's slightly different. The rock structures are different. It's just brilliant.
And really, you know, really great scrambling, you know, rough hills, like the Akira Ridge is great. We've kind of done that both ways on this trip, and it's really really good fun. But not too long either, so
no.
you can get up and get into it.
That's right.
But obviously you've done way more in the Arran Hills because you've lived here.
Well, I wouldn't say more than I hear. I don't think I wouldn't, you know.
Well, but on the hills in general, like, you'll have a much better
idea
of sort of the layout of the island and all the runs. I often like this idea of if you could see like a heat map of all the different things you'd done in your local area.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it would just be building up
on
layer on layer.
Yeah, Strava's quite good for that, I think.
Yeah,
Might not be very good this year, but it's, certainly over the years that I've built up. I don't know how many times I've been up and down Goat Fell now. plus.
Yeah, and yourself at the moment, are you sort of mainly running when you're going out, or are you walking?
It depends on sort of my work. If I've got a day off, I'll certainly try and do either a big hike day or just a big hill day running, run hiking. I did have a knee injury last year, which really set me back, so I'm just building up. I'd like to be a lot faster and be able to go all day without feeling knackered, so I am building that up.
Yeah. Doing the physio, strengthening it.
Yeah, trying my best. Yeah, so if I'm not running, I'm just hiking up here.
And because you were saying, in terms of your running, you'd been over to the mainland.
Yeah.
So you've done, obviously, Goat Fell race.
Yeah, I've done Goat Fell a few times.
Quite a few times.
Yep. They managed to get into Ben Nevis.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. I absolutely loved it. Again, not very fast, but I absolutely loved it. It was just such a buzz with all the runners to be so busy and have so many people cheering you on. Not that the Goat Fell race isn't, because you still get the same, but I think it's because it's such a big iconic race. It's been going on for so long. I think you're just absolutely buzzing throughout the whole thing.
It's sort of everything, isn't it? It's like the kind of, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of spectators, you're in the pipes at the start in the field, and and you're
just
kind of off
on, the highest hill in Britain as well is amazing. So yeah, I love that.
Was that cool? Was that last year? That was a couple of years ago.
Last year? No, year before, because last year
you were taking the photos.
Yeah, year before. That was it. So hopefully next year, it'll be on again next year.
Hopefully. And did you, Ring of Steel Sky
Ring
Race
Steel,
as well? So Le Cabre as well.
Yeah, I did that. What year was it now? Oh, maybe 3-4 years ago, was it? Yeah, I didn't do that. The Ben Nevis year or the year before. So I've done I did the Ring of Steel, so trained quite a bit for that, and I really enjoyed that as well. I really loved the sort of sharp ridges, and then the mad descent right down, and then have to climb back up again.
Yeah, it's brutal, because it's like under 30, it's like 28 or 9k, isn't it?
Yeah,
but
it is.
But
I think
a lot
it's
of
just,
ascent.
It's just like mountains, though. It's just being in mountains are just so much fun to be in. So although I was absolutely knackered, I was just still buzzing. And speaking to people on it as well, meeting people, that's always great fun.
So. Yeah. Yeah, like the people you're racing around
or just chat to on the
finish at the end. Everyone's run the same course, so it's a kind of camaraderie of that.
Really good fun. So might do that again if in the future.
That that race is totally becoming my nemesis. Like, it should suit me like so well. I know those hills really well. It's a good distance, and it's quite, you know, a lot of it's rough, but it's always been a couple of weeks after Ben Nevis, and for whatever reason I've seemed to have like picked up colds after the Ben, and pulled out one time, which I think is the only race I've pulled out of ever. Didn't run another time, and then I have finished it, but just really badly, just kind of walked in a huff.
I know.
So yeah, hopefully we'll get back to it next 2021 and do a good run on it. And who do you run with on Arran? Is there
my brother's mad keen as well. Okay. My brother's he's just getting back from an injury as well. We're both pretty bad for getting injured. But he's had a bad Achilles injury, so he's just starting to pick it up. But we've got a few of us who used to actually be in a really good club, Arran Runners, which is not up and running anymore, sadly. They used to organise the Goat Fell race in the Glen Rosa Horseshoe.
Okay.
But unfortunately, unless people take it on, these things just fall aside.
It must take a lot of
work
to do these. Yeah, I haven't been involved in putting on races at all. But
a huge effort.
Total kudos to everyone who is doing that.
For those who did it all those years, amazing kudos. Because they brought a lot of really great races to Arran every year, and that took a lot of work. But a few people who were in that, we run together. Before COVID outbreak, we were sort of meeting up every Sunday and trying to run, depending on the weather, but even just all through the winter, just trying to get out and do a long-ish run on a Sunday together.
Yeah.
Which was great fun, just to be running with a group. There was always somebody in the group that was slightly faster who pushed you a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a good thing about running in a group, I find, is you try and tag on and push yourself. then the person behind you is pushing themselves
on. Yeah, yeah.
So that was really, I missed that actually.
And I think you said even over winter you were would be doing that.
Yeah, kind of weather dependent. If it was really full on snow and bad thunder and lightning storms, no, we'd maybe just do it in the forestry. We've got great forestry trails here as well, which are quite sheltered. So you can run, you can actually run, you know, a marathon easily on the forestry roads here.
Okay.
And it's fairly undulated, so you get quite a lot of climbs. So that's a really good thing to have to keep going if you can't go up the mountains. To do a wee bit of training, just get on the forestry roads.
And I mean, for me, like training in Fort William, like in the winter, like obviously it's dark a lot of the time, so it's just good to have local trails that you just, you don't need to think about where you're going. You just get your head torch on and get it done.
But
are you getting two midges? Do you want
I've got a net.
Midge
I'm gonna
net or anything? We're going to put midge nets on.
I'm going to do the the ninja look.
Yeah. All right, so we're now at the picnic table. What time is it? It's like 9 o'clock at night, and we're just sitting with our midge nets.
Looking good.
Having a chat.
Welcome to the west coast of Scotland.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's not just not only Aaron that they are.
Yeah.
And so you were telling me a bit about some kind of longer runs that you'd sort of liked, enjoy doing, or walks, longer kind of link-ups of peaks in Aran.
So, I think I was talking about this other night. Me and my friend, Lucy Wallace, it was her idea. She came up with this long-distance route that we did, was it 3 years ago, which involved walking all the hills on Aran over 700 metres.
Okay.
So we called it the Aran 700. So that's been sort of the biggest route I've walked. So we started in Pernmil and walked up Ben Varan.
So this is, so you're right on the west coast.
Yeah.
It was also a coast to coast, wasn't it?
Yeah, sort of coast to coast as well. Ben up Ben Varan, down to Loch Tanna, and then sort of contoured round past Loch Na Davy up onto the Lech an Tobert and up onto Castielavel, which is the second highest mountain on Aran. Along the ridge to Kirvor. Bypassed Achir, Ben Tarson, Ben Noos, back to Ben Tarson, and then we sort of, our legs were pretty trashed, so we came down from the Bialach into sort of the southwest side of Achir and up onto the summit that way, so we kind of bypassed the scrambly rocky bit. So we just sort of hopped up onto the boulder at the top. There's a massive boulder in the top of Achir, that's the true summit.
You were talking about that the other day and actually we've done it twice, and we did it at like sunset and we didn't actually go on top of the boulder, but then today I did it the other way and I went on the boulder.
Well done.
So yeah, it's quite cool. It's quite,
quite if you're short, if you're short like myself, it's it takes a bit of effort trying to get up on it. So that was in Achir, and then we came back down underneath Kirvor onto the saddle, up to North Goatfell, Mullaghbuia, and then finished on Goatfell. And then walked down in the dark back to the mountain rescue base. So I'm trying to remember the stats on it. I think it's around about 22 miles.
Okay.
I can't quite remember the height. So it's not really, it's not an ultra, but I actually think it would have been slightly less painful trying to run, hike it with a really light pack, because you'd be moving faster.
Yeah,
you haven't been out for so long.
And there's, I mean, a lot of... So all the peaks over 700 metres.
Yeah.
And loads 12. Of sort of... There's 12, is there?
Yeah, I think it's 12 altogether.
So a lot of peaks and a lot of kind of tussocky, boggy stuff in the middle there.
Yeah, that's a lot of sort of rough ground in there. So that was it. That was an adventure. It was absolutely brilliant. We were both knackered, but as I say, it would probably be really nice to somebody attempt to run it. Through the tussocky bog and... Yeah, just see what kind of time we could get on that, because it's quite a nice route.
It does look like a good one.
Yeah.
We when we arrived, like I said, we did the Glen Sannox horseshoe.
Yeah, that's
which,
a great one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd done like sort of a lot of the kind of, you know, from North Scotfell down to Cavour and Castiel Vale, but I hadn't done the, is it the Witch's Step, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right.
And that kind of ridge down there, and like the first, we went up Kíochnahoig, is it?
Yeah, I'm probably going to say this wrong as well. I think it's Kíochnahoig.
Kíochnahoig.
Could be wrong.
Okay. Which was a great, I mean, that's what's 661 metres.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, you're on there and then you've got all this technical sort of, I mean, not hard, but like,
Exposed,
and quite rough, kind of uppy downy, bouldery stuff. It was, it keeps your interest.
Definitely.
So I loved that horseshoe.
Yeah, the Witch's Step's really enjoyable as well. That the ridge from Cashelavo down to the Witch's Step, it's quite sort of narrows in places as well.
Yeah.
It's just all really good fun.
And we did the climb on it.
Okay.
Like up kind of the step.
Yep.
Which is, I think it says it's like a V-diff move or something.
It's quite difficult.
But you can, is it on the north side, you can just go around?
Yeah, so when you get into the cleft of the Witch's Step, so you climb down and then you reach the top of a gully. So you go down the gully.
Okay.
There's a high path which is still quite exposed to the, if you go to the right-hand side. If you go down...
Is that going... Sorry to interrupt. West to east, is that...
Yeah,
is that the way you're describing it?
Yeah,
okay, sorry.
So when you get in, so where the V of the Witch's Step, so there's a sort of flat bit at the top of that gully where you can see the V.
Okay.
So you would go west down the gully and then sort of north round the side, which takes you out the big sort of granite V in front of you.
We're looking at the map here, and this is a really old map. This is like my grandpa's map. It's from like 1976 or something. The date on it.
Yeah. So you basically climb down the gully and take the lower path slightly easier, and that contours round and gets you back onto the ridge towards Suí Fergus.
Okay.
So you're basically kind of west, and then skirt round, and then
north.
Sort of north northeast,
okay.
Sort of facing.
And actually, speaking of my grandpa, John Hind, who was in RAF Mountain Rescue many years ago, I've got a book of his called The Long Walks by Ken Wilson.
Yeah.
Which, that's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, which I haven't actually looked fully through, but you were saying there's a really good looking sort of
link up. Oh, is that the Cassie?
Right, okay,
yeah. So you have gone.
This is my like, segue
wow, okay.
into your...
Super. Yeah. So I'd come across this book years ago and I'd read it, but actually pulled it out last night after saying to you about it.
Yeah.
I think I said it was the big rounds or something, but I got the name slightly
wrong. Oh, it's the
wrong,
big walks, isn't
big
it?
Walks.
Yeah, yeah.
But I looked at it last night and I looked at the, I think it's the Aran Rocky Peaks is what it's called.
Okay.
But it's just a fantastic long route which takes in every single sort of northern high hill. It starts at Brodick Pier, Glen Rosa, onto Ben Noose, Ben Tarson, includes Achir, Kirvor, along the back to Cashelavel, Kirvor, and then down onto the saddle, Northcote Fell. Oh no, sorry, that's not what I'm talking about. So up onto Cashelavel, down the Witch's Step, Suí Fergus, and then cuts down into Glen Sannox and up onto Kíochnahoig, along to Mullach Buia, up onto North Goatfell, Stacat Goatfell, and then back down to Brodick again.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that was about 34k. I didn't say the height on it, but it'll be quite a lot. It
looks like another, good day out.
The descent into Glen Sannox, yeah.
And that, so actually, it's the Big Walks, Ken Wilson.
I think that's
but
right,
that
yeah.
was sort of in the same series as in episode 3 with the guys, Mark and Ali, who did the Cairngorms Classic Rock link
fantastic.
Up.
Okay.
Classic Rock was also a book by Ken Wilson. So there's, I think the Big Walks was sort of the walking version of that kind of, I think, late 70s sort of style of.
So I'm guessing some of the routes would be slightly different, but the main sort of, I mean, that one, certainly the Aran one, is still very much the same. Achir Ridge is kind of described, if you stick to the crest, you know, you're okay, which may...
yeah.
So, yeah, in general terms, that's all right. But, it's a lovely long route. Oh, yeah, a good book.
So that'd be another one to potentially try.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we probably should mention as well, when I first sort of tried to get in touch with you, and I was like dead keen to go and do a bivvy, because I'd seen, I think, Instagram and Twitter, isn't it?
Yep,
and
yep.
I'd seen these amazing sort of astrophotography sort of pictures, and with the mountains in them as well. And I was like, it looks like you bivvy out quite a lot. So we sort of thought we were going to bivvy out, myself and Doogie, and we were planning to come along Bintarsund and Akir, and you were going to bivvy out and Castiel Vale, and maybe we were going to sort of see you there.
Yeah.
But we left a bit late, and we're just loving being out in that golden sort
Such
of sunset.
Night.
Yeah.
Just a perfect night.
So we didn't quite make it as far as you.
Sorry.
But we could sort of hear your doggy, and I think we were flashing lights at
everybody
at each
in the
other.
North of Arran hears my doggy.
But and then obviously your pictures. So it was like a beautifully clear night, and
oh,
then
oh my goodness, yeah.
It was, you could see Venus a bit. Was that?
Yeah. So there was started off. I'd been sort of tracking this. There was a meteor shower. It's, best one in the northern hemisphere, the Perseids.
Okay.
So it sort of peaks on the 11th, 12th, 13th of August. So I've been watching the forecast, sort of, please, 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 please be a clear night. No clear night, no clear night. And I looked at the forecast for the night that you'd suggested a bivvy, and I thought, oh, I'm working the next day. No, I can't do it. There's no way I can stay up. And then I looked at the forecast again, and it was the only clear night all week. And I thought, no, I have to do this. I have to do this. And I was on holiday for 2 weeks after the Saturday. I just get through the Saturday, I'll be okay. So, I decided to go for it, and it just didn't disappoint. And it was so spontaneous, and sometimes the most spontaneous nights are the best. I didn't really get much sleep. I decided to sort of get in my bivvy bag at about 2 a.m, just to try and get my head over for an hour or two. The dog got her head over, so she was snoring right in my face. I've got a hoop bivvy bag, so okay. She just fits in, just.
Yeah, so you must have, because you were working that day, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So after work, you basically come in from sort of the north east.
Yeah.
Walked in, so you had your bivvy bag, obviously a tripod and all your camera stuff.
Yeah, I had my camera stuff. So I just went. Walked really slowly up Selenim. It was I haven't actually felt heat like that at that time of night.
Yeah.
It honestly felt like a desert. I was because I thought I'm going to be out for the night. I'll try not to sweat that much, you know. Take my time.
Sure.
And no, it didn't happen. It was absolutely roasting. But it just took my time up the ridge. Watched the sunset. Watched about 20 red deer on the ridge just grazing away. Watched the sun go down on Kirvor. And set up my bivvy and just sat and waited. And the good thing about this time of year as well is you get really clear nights when there's no moon, and the Milky Way was really clear as well. So the first two planets were at least Saturn and Mercury, so they were the first in the sky, and then they moved around, and then the Milky Way came out, and then I got a couple hours sleep, and then I woke up to the moon and Venus lighting up Kirvor, and then a cloud inversion as well.
And we messed up a bit because looking at your pictures, you were higher than us, and there was just a wee bit of cloud came over the ridge where we were.
I watched that for quite a while thinking, I wonder where you are, if you're below the cloud or if you'd made it above.
So I mean, it was good because we got plenty of stars and great views to start with, but then kind of through the night we were a bit more in the cloud,
eaten by the fog.
But then the next day we get up higher and got this amazing inversion. And it was absolutely roasting, you know, up on Kavor in the morning.
It was so warm. I mean, I walked off the hill in a t-shirt, and that was, you know, half three, four in the morning. There was no wind whatsoever. It was just amazing.
Yeah, so this is keen because you'd basically gone up after work, and then you had to leave at when, like about?
Well, I'll set my alarm for 3.
3.
I really didn't. I wasn't going to get any sleep. I sort of already knew that what I put myself in for.
You were committed.
But you know what? It's just so worth it for what you get sometimes.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And then you're back to work at like what, half 8 or something?
8 o'clock. Yeah.
So, 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a shower and had a coffee and actually felt okay. But I knew it was on holiday from Sunday for 2 weeks, so I think that got me through.
Brilliant.
But yeah, what a night. It was super.
And so how often do you sort of go out? And obviously, from what you've said, you sort of track like what's happening with the stars. And
yeah, I'm really interested in
the planets.
I'm still learning about astrophotography, but I've got an app, Starwalk app, which alerts me to anything that's pretty interesting.
Okay.
I mean, the sky's interesting anyway, but when you get certain planets lining up or Milky Ways or meteor showers, or there was a comet, Neowise, that was was about 3 weeks ago. That was really interesting. So I managed to get a picture of that. One night I got up and went up just the hill behind Lumlash, Dunfin, and I couldn't see it with my own eyes, but I lined the camera up. It just sat below the Big Dipper, so I just aimed for that and put the camera on, and the camera picked it up, and it was just right above Goat Fell.
Okay. So because it's a longer exposure.
Yeah, it was a longer, they let in more light. So there it was, right below. And that's not coming round again for another 17,000 years or something.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like stuff like that just really excites me.
It's amazing.
To get out and try and... I mean, you don't always see what you aim out to get, but if you do, it's just, you know, it's fantastic.
And I suppose, this is just coming to me now, like the stars... Yeah. It's like something that you learn a bit about when you're a kid, and then you sort of take it for granted a bit.
Mm, definitely.
But actually, when you go back and think, actually, this is amazing, all this stuff, and get into it in detail, it's really interesting.
I think it just adds to the sort of bivvy mountain experience as well. You know, you're sat there, and probably adding, you know, the light pollution here. You still get quite a lot of light pollution from the mainland, but it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
So that adds to the whole mountain experience. I mean, camping in a mountain and seeing a sunset and a sunrise is fantastic, but watching the stars and as well, if you get a clear night, is just another addition to the whole experience.
It's amazing. And is there a sort of a gang of people who do that kind of stuff, like go up and do bivvies on nice nights in the summer?
Yeah, one of my friends, Corinna, who's a National Trust ranger here. We keep meeting on the mountain together, but haven't organised it between us.
I
just was like, oh, hi, Corinna.
Yeah.
So she's got the same idea. So she does it quite a lot as well. But yeah, I guess, there's a few more people now do it, which is quite nice. So taking advantage of nice weather and clear nights. But so I've yet to do it in the winter. I've still to experience a winter bivvy.
Okay.
So that's the so I'm looking for a down sleeping bag and all the other things.
No, it's really like it's inspired to try and do some more bivvies high up and just taking the good weather.
Some people to do it fantastic.
I think that the weather in Aran might be better than the weather in Fort William.
It's always sunny here.
and the sun, when the sun was going down, I was like, oh, I was a bit confused because I was like, oh, that looks exactly out west. That looks exactly like rum, which I see a lot from where I live.
Of course,
but of course it wasn't rum; it was Jura.
Yeah,
which I should know because I love Jura and the race on Jura.
Yeah.
But from the north, if you see Jura, normally it's like the two paps you see. But
yeah,
I think
it's slightly
different angle.
Yeah, it's quite on a nice clear night. You do see that from most of the high hills, which is lovely. And you occasionally see Ben Moore and Rum, but an exceptionally clear night. But mainly Jura to the west.
Oh, I'm Mull. Yeah, you see up in Mull. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say the other night you thought you saw Ben Nevis?
Yeah, I'm not sure. To discuss this with my dad, and he was like, there's no way you could have seen Ben Nevis.
Okay.
But I was trying to get it through my head what else it would have been, and because the cloud inversion had covered everything. So any other mountains, surely there would be, through the clouds. But the only one I could see was just a pinpoint right, and then it was sort of flat topped. Sort of a bit like the Ben shape. I can't say 100%, but that's all I could see, and it was the only one. I was thinking, if I can see that, surely I would be able to see other tops as well, and not just one of the highest, but I'm not sure.
And probably it does, distance.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
quite a long distance away, so I'm not sure about that, but certainly it was taller than anything
everything else.
It was the only thing, it was through the cloud, the only thing way in the distance.
I did one time years ago, I bivvied up on the summit of Ben Nevis on Christmas Eve, actually, which was, it was a cloud inversion and an amazing sunrise. So it was kind of weird because I'd been like texted a few of my friends who were in the pub, but like on Christmas Eve. And then, but then it was great because like I went down early in the morning to like Christmas dinner and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic.
But I can remember seeing, I'm sure it was, there's these masts sort of on the Black Island at Inverness, like with red lights on them.
Wow.
Multiple lights. And I was like, sure, I could see right down the Great Glen at them.
Yeah, but... I mean, just depends on the visibility, I guess. It's, I'm not too sure if you can see Arran from top of the Ben on a clear day. There's just so many tops you can see, though. That's probably why it, it's hard to pinpoint. But, yeah. So.
The other thing, thinking back, was this one time I came to run... the route of the what do they call it, the Tarsian Trail. So this is Casey Morgan's sort of sky race that he'd developed, what, maybe 3-4 years ago.
Now 4 years ago I think it was,
and now it's in the summer, but initially it was like October.
Yep, that's right.
And the weather was just horrendous. So it's just like felt really bad for him. He had this tough decision to just be like, no, we can't run it.
Yeah, it was the worst weather I think we'd ever had for about 2 months. It just happened to be that weekend. It was such a shame.
But we, me and Tom Owens went and ran around the route anyway, in like double jackets and like extra gear and stuff, and slowly, but we, I remember on going up Goat Fell, that we sort of came across this massive anvil.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's
just
right.
Sitting there in the path.
Yeah.
That's and right. Like a huge thing, like we with two of us, we couldn't lift it, two of us. We could like move it slightly with two of us. I don't know how much it weighed. Oof. But then we're in one of the pubs in Broderick the other day, and there's this anvil sitting there with a plaque saying it'd been carried up by a strongman.
The guy, he's called Davy Bannatyne. Bannatyne, and he works at Lag Distillery down the south end of the island, and he's actually just completed a challenge during lockdown of carrying one of the massive big whiskey kegs.
Okay.
So carrying one of them around the entire coastal way, so to raise money. Jeez. I think for mental health this time. The first time was for diabetes charity. His daughter has diabetes, so he, that was carrying the anvil, which was an absolute phenomenal achievement. So he carried all the way up Goat Fell from Broderick the anvil.
And it, I mean, it must have, did it take sort of weeks of like doing a bit each time?
I think I can't remember how long. Was it 2 weeks or three? It wasn't really that much time considering the weight of the thing. But yeah, phenomenal. So that was his first sort of strongman challenge, and then the second one was this whiskey barrel, which was fairly recent, a couple of months ago. But yeah, fantastic challenge.
And so all the way around the
all the way around the whole of Arran. So
There's
the coastal way runs right around the edge of the whole island. So yeah, he carried the over, I think it was 2-3 weeks again. Might have been slightly longer. His feet were completely shredded, you know, walking. It's not easy terrain. Big boulders, you know, even round Lagan Cottage, that bit.
Okay.
You have to sort of carry any bikes.
Yeah, so right up at the north.
Yeah, all these tricky coast, little sections. Yeah. It's not just walking on a road, or, you know, it's.
Do you know how far the road around Arran is?
Yeah, it's 56 miles all the way round.
That's
on
the other
road.
Thing.
Yeah.
People will often come over to road bike it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it's big for road biking. So you get a lot of cyclists coming just to do the, you know, sort of beat their times on the round Arran loop, or there's a figure of eight as well, which north or south, and then you cross the string road in the middle.
Okay.
I think that's about 77 miles thereabouts. So yeah, it's always, you know, trying to beat their previous times or beat each other and sort of time trial around.
Yeah, and it's not flat, there's plenty of hills, isn't there?
Yeah.
On the road, even, yeah.
That's right.
What do you have any? Oh no, actually, before we ask you that, so we talked a bit about Casey's race. Maybe we should, just go a bit into. We've touched on them, but the kind of the Arran running races, I suppose. So the classic one is the Goat Fell up and down from Broderick,
Yeah, that's
right. Great. It's not it's sports field, isn't it?
Yeah, the Ormadale Sports Pavilion. So it runs from there. And you've got sort of a really fast, sort of flattish road till you get into the Castle Drive, and then, as you know well.
Yeah, is it about 2K maybe?
Yeah, about 2K.
And so with a return, it's 4K. So it's quite a bit of fast road.
Especially on the way back.
In a short race, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of times I've done it, I've found that the hardest is when you come off, you come running down some lovely mountain track and then you hit the road, and it's literally, I've always just felt like my legs have just gone into quicksand.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how can the flat road be so difficult? Just give me a mountain again, please.
Yeah, it's something, yeah, isn't it?
It's just the tarmac, it's horrible, but it's really fun race.
It's really cool. I think it's about an hour 15, the winning time, the record.
You're not slightly shorter? I think, did that not go from the castle, the quicker time?
Oh, right, okay.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I think it went from the castle 1 year that was shortened it, possibly.
Murray's, I can't remember the exact time, but Murray Strain got the record like 3 years ago, maybe.
Right, okay.
It's sort of beyond Scottish Hill.
Okay.
Racing stuff, but sorry, I don't have the stats there, but
yeah.
So that's the kind of the classic hill race.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other one which you touched on a bit was which doesn't run anymore was the Glenrosa Horseshoe.
Yeah, that's a real shame. That that was a really good one, and that no longer runs. The Iron Runners used to do all the hill races. Shettleston Harriers took on the Goat Fell race.
Okay.
Thank you, Shettleston Harriers. But unfortunately, the Glenrosa Horseshoe just fell by the wayside.
It was a bit longer. It's probably harder to sort of marshal and
there's a lot of rough terrain. Sort of ground, and people sort of having the chance to choose sort of a route up onto Benachleven. So you've got sort of a lot of options in that open hillside to sort of pick a line up onto the ridge and then along down this sort of really steep gully into Corrie Dangan.
It's getting dark, so
I'm removing the midget, can't see. And then sort of skirts under Achir onto up onto Kiervoor, round under Kiervoor, up onto the saddle, and then up onto North Goat Fell.
Yeah.
And then Goat Fell. And then back down to the castle. So that started at the castle itself.
So it was sort of, a variation of the horseshoe, missing some bits.
That's but right. Yeah.
I have a great memory of that race. It was sort of early on in my running career, if you want to call it that. But it was maybe the first time even I'd been to Arran. And doing that route and, sort of making sure to get the nav right. And the weather wasn't amazing. But I can remember, going up the North Goat Fell Ridge and just being sort of amazed by this very distinctive sort of granite tours and trying to miss out the scrambly bits. And, that was cool.
That was a nice one. Yeah, it's a shame that one's not on anymore.
And then, so like we mentioned, Casey set up these ultras or sky races.
Yeah.
So there's the Tarshan Trail one, which is kind of like the Glenrosa Horseshoe in reverse, but with Cathy LaVale.
Yeah.
And then the longer one, I think, has changed format a couple of times.
Yeah, it has. I'm trying to think what the initial one, I think, was quite similar to the book we talked about. Of the Arran Rocky Peaks, because it came down. I think this ridge and across onto Sannox and up, but I think they decided to come off once they did Castielavel, come off this ridge off Salanim. It comes down into towards, where are we? It is getting quite dark here now, isn't it? So down this ridge here towards Benbrek.
Right, so this is for people who are maybe driving or something. This is like off the kind of main horseshoe way into into no man's land,
so
a bit
into this
further west.
Really boggy ground takes you down to sort of Loch na Davy and out via La Cranza.
To the north. Okay.
Yeah, and I think they then did this loop here, so sort of the Cock
a
of Arran.
A loop right at the north.
Just to sort of space it out a bit, and then back up.
And both that and the Tarsan Trail they're marked as well. So yeah, I suppose that's marked. quite a difference.
Yeah. So
is there a triathlon or something? Did I see?
There is a triathlon. It's called the Iron Man. So where we're sitting now, actually, this is part of the running route. Something is a 10k and a half marathon route. The 10k is just a double. I think the half marathon's a double loop of the same thing. So it starts at the high school, which is opposite end of Lamlash from where we're sitting.
Okay.
Runs along the road, round the end, and I think it goes up the hill and back down, and round the farm at the far end of the village. So yeah, just basically where we're sat, it's fairly flat apart from the last section up onto
okay.
the hill.
So that doesn't really go into the mountains so much.
No, it doesn't go into the mountains. There's another one which started the Ultra Trail Rat Race.
Okay.
So that's more sort of round the coast away, but that's slightly one of their loops. I think it's the second day. I don't know the exact route, but I know it involves sort of coming up Stackack, onto Goat Fell and down.
Okay.
And I think it's up Glen Rose onto the saddle. It might include Kiervore onto the saddle.
I mean, looking at it here, I love that it's such, you know, it's a tiny area, really, if you think of the main kind of mountains in of Arran.
Yeah.
I suppose 10K by 10K probably fits it most in, but there's like so much. There's so many variations. And
many up and downs.
We haven't even talked about, you know, obviously there's climbing up to as hard as you want, really, for the climbers.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, it's an incredibly varied place, and I'll need to remember that it's really not that far from Fort William to come down and just get the ferry over and go explore. And definitely for people in Glasgow, like I know lots of friends who just pop over for day trips and things.
An hour on the train, not even an hour on the train, and an hour on a ferry. So it really is. It's such an escape for people to get here without travelling away up to the Highlands. That, you know, if they're wanting just a big hill day, they can come and get their hill fix and go home.
Definitely. One other thing I wanted to ask you was about. Did I see that you'd made a book?
My photos.
Yeah.
Well, idea sort of came from lockdown.
Okay.
And we've got a lot of people who love Arran and have family here and don't live here anymore. They've moved away. And it was actually quite heartbreaking because I wasn't taking any pictures for a while because I felt really guilty. I wasn't breaking any rules by going outside the rules. But I thought, I'm walking down here and I've got whole aisle in front of me. Some people are stuck in flats and haven't got any view. And why I sort of felt really awkward about sharing pictures. But it wasn't anything that I wouldn't normally do because I love the place. I'm always sharing pictures. But I did stop and think, should I really be doing this? I feel really guilty. So I kind of stopped taking pictures and putting them on Instagram and things. And then I had people like messaging saying, why have you stopped taking pictures? That's the only thing that was keeping me going, thinking about coming back to Arran. And I thought, what can I do to, you know, maybe somebody would like a little book just of Arran photos to flick through, you know, maybe if they were stuck away or family that were stuck away. So I decided to make up this little hardback photo book just of all the images that I really, really liked, all my favourite ones, and just handwrite titles underneath. And I've had a lot of really nice feedback just of people saying, you know, I sent this to my mum in such and such a place, and you know, she was in tears just looking through the book, and I just thought that was really nice. It was just an idea that, so I can change the images now. The lockdown's finished, but it seems to be people still quite like the book.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that about that, living in a place that's, you know, somewhere beautiful or by the sea or by the mountains, and you could still go out. It was the same in Fort William. We weren't up the hills, but we could still go out, in Glen Nevis and things, but it sort of felt a bit wrong to
just
sort of
kind of felt this element of guilt when others don't
sort of share
have
it
anything
much.
Thankfully that sort of, you know, people, I actually thought to myself that I really love Harris and all these places, and I was seeing pictures of people walking along the beach there, and I thought, oh, it's so lovely, you know, so that was actually bringing me a lot of pleasure, seeing other people's pictures of places I love to go to.
And I guess, like, yeah, some people who were, you know, in the flat in the city would love to see the pictures of the mountains because it would...
Because they were stuck in.
They're stuck, but other people would be like, oh, no, I just don't want to see that. I can't see that, please. So you can't please everyone.
That's right.
So can we still buy the book?
You can.
Okay, yeah, I want to get one because it looks really good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I just saw a few of the pictures, like, when you put it online, and there's, like... There was quite a lot of, like, sunsets in the mountains and, like, some winter shots.
And then sort of,
The dog... Is the dog in any of them?
No, the dog's not featured in any of them, no. So, could make a doggy one, I suppose. My dog and all the pictures. Yeah, but just various places around Arran, from sort of coast to mountain. And I named it From Arran With Love. And it's just a little hardback miniature book.
So, can I get it in town?
Or? You need to email me.
I will email you.
So, email me at focusforadventure@yahoo.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
And yeah, it does look great. And maybe while we're on that, we could say about if you wanted like social media stuff, where all these amazing photos and what you're up to is.
Yeah, you can, if you want to catch up with things I'm doing. So my Instagram is at Kirsty. So it's Kirsty with an IE, KirstieS, and then Arran as in the Isle of Arran, Arran. So that's my Instagram. I think I'm the same on Twitter.
Okay.
For that. And my photography page is slightly different. I don't bombard my photography page with all my dog pictures or selfies. So my photography page is at A Focus for Adventure.
Okay.
And that's
brilliant.
My Instagram.
Oh, I think it's so inspiring and like the bivvy selfie is like
that was a really happy bivvy selfie.
Oh.
That was sheer joy.
I'd be really interested to know how many people, like, in different places, like locals, are going up and bivvying regularly, because I'm not aware of it happening in Fort William, but it might be happening loads, and I just don't know about people doing it. We try and do it now and again, but like I was saying, I'm going to try and get into the habit of doing it often.
If you just want that absolute escape. And I think it's nice as well, because sometimes I think we're always sort of in the mountains hiking or running and pushing ourselves, and I think actually saying, you know what, I'm going to go up and spend the night in the mountain and completely chill out and just appreciate all the little stuff, and to sort of combine that with everything else is really nice. Just slow down a little bit.
It does. It changes how you appreciate it, because if you know you're just going out, like, for a run on the evening, you're sort of thinking, right, I've got to get back, and then what you're doing later. Whereas if you know that I've got my sleep and stuff, I'm just out.
You can just completely slow down. You don't need to be anywhere else. You just get to enjoy, I think, seeing every single second of the sunset, every single second of the sunrise, and, just watch the stars. It's very relaxing. And you always feel completely refreshed when you come off the hill, even if you haven't slept. You know, the buzz the next day is worth.
The buzz of it will keep you going through
the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
But definite fair weather though.
It's best. Yeah. So is there anything else that you think myself and Doogie should do while we're on the island?
You've done lots of really
good... We've had loads
really
of fun days out, definitely.
I think you should give yourself a rest now.
A rest.
Maybe have a mountain bivvy, but the weather's not looking great for that, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Another mountain bivvy.
I think, we'll need to do some more, definitely.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, you've done the permanent... So the Western Hills, Ben Varan, that's a really nice ridge. It's sort of...
Yeah.
It's not as well known as the main sort of northern. So the one you did from Eorsa, was it the other...
From Doogery and up.
Yeah, that's a lovely...
Fell in a hole and cut my leg open.
Not selling it.
But, well, once I knew it would be pathless. Once I got up on the ridge, it was stunning.
Yeah.
And there's that island thing of you're on a ridge.
Yeah.
And the sea's right there just below you.
Fantastic.
So that's brilliant.
That's a really lovely one. So you've really ticked off a lot of good stuff when you've been here. And Achior Ridge twice. Phenomenal.
Yeah, we'll definitely be back for more. And... I'm sure. There's loads more variations and different things, different ways to do those peaks because they're beautiful.
Definitely, and the good thing is that you never see them the same way. No matter how many times I've lived here and enjoy the hills, every time I go up, and you never see them the same. There's always something different, different light, different weather, different people you meet.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah McDonald, who I interviewed episode 4, she was talking about how going in the mountains is a bit like time travel, because you go to the same place again and you remember, oh, I was here with so-and-so.
Yeah,
or
that's right.
The weather was like this, or, you know, I was doing a big run.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that idea that, yeah.
Yeah, so it takes you back to things you've done in the past as well. That's a really nice way of looking at it as well. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's getting really pretty dark now.
Yeah, I think that Saturn and... Jupiter.
Oh, wow.
They're the first two out again.
Okay.
To the south.
Wow, yeah, so they're just over Holy Island.
Yeah.
What's the app called, if anyone's interested in the night sky stuff?
I've got the one I use when I'm at, so Saturn and Jupiter. That's the first ones out that we can see there above there. So I've got a really good app, which I use, and it sort of, you put in your location, and you can put in the time. So I had this other night to see everything I could see in the sky. So this one's called Stellarium. So Stellarium Plus.
Stellarium.
And yeah, if you're out looking at the night sky, it's got sort of your compass, your bearings and everything, and direction, and lines up everything with what you're looking at. Really handy.
Brilliant. Have to look at that, and... especially on some more bivvies.
Yeah, more bivvies.
Thanks so much, Kirsty.
Oh, thank you,
for not only talking to me, but also in the midges and
right.
At super last minute notice.
No, absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure. And it's great that folk can come and enjoy the island and really get the most out of its beauty and lovely mountains.
Yeah, definitely be back. Great. Well, that's it for this time. This is Go Mountain Goats. And I guess see you next time.
See ya.